So the arm of Yahweh. Today's journey is to try and peel back the layers. Some of the layers you've heard, but for the most part, we haven't peeled back them to go back even further to their origin. Now, we have to understand that Yahweh is a spirit. Thus, when he speaks of him having an arm, it's metaphorical. Yahweh does not have a form. He does not have an arm. What's important as we get ready for this is it's a good preparation for Passover, because on the Passover plate we have the Zeruah, the right arm or the arm of Yahweh, which is actually a lamb bone. And that's important to hold on to as we go through this. I'm going to start in John chapter 12, verse 37 to 38. This is Yeshua speaking, or will be. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Yahweh, who has believed our report, to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed?" Now, a lot of people go, well, the arm of Yahweh is literally the physical Yeshua. Now, I already made a point that Yahweh does not have a physical arm. I also make a point that his arm was revealed long before the Word became flesh and took on a name. Long before that. So we need to look at this and let Scripture interpret what this means, this idea of the arm of Yahweh. Well, so what does it mean? We're going to start to look at the context of the chapter, John 12. What's he speaking about in chapter 12? So 12, 27 to 30. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me for this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven came, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by heard it said, that was thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Yeshua answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." Now, what I want you to understand is that he's saying, in context, you know what? His name has already been glorified. So something to do with his arm, his right hand, glorified his name. And he's going to glorify it again. 12:44 to 46. Then Yeshua cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness." Now, that's a lot in there, but realize the most important thing here is our belief is not in him. Our belief is in him who sent Messiah. That's the point here. And by seeing what Messiah is doing, the whole goal is not to see him, but to see the Father. Now, he compares it to being light in the world. The people at that time would have gone back to Genesis 1:1, when Yahweh said, "Let there be light." So what they would have understood is this was the word that he was speaking about. So he's saying here, don't believe in the word spoken, or the promise spoken, probably a better word there. Believe in he who will keep the promise. Because the promise is worthless if the person doesn't keep it. John 12:47-48. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now he's saying here, the words I'm speaking must be believed in. The goal is not to bring judgment, but to save. But what he's saying is, if you don't believe in these words, they will judge you. It's like I'm throwing out a life preserver to you. You can choose to grab that life preserver or not. But realize when you don't grab it, well, you just gave up on being saved. 12:49-50. Now listen to this. For I have not spoken on my own authority. Or another word is in my own name. But the Father who sent me gave me a what? A command. That I should say what I should speak. And I know that his command is what? Everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. He's saying here that the word he's speaking, the commands he's speaking, are life. But they are life because Yahweh commanded them to be. Do we have any context of the time of year that this was taught? See, a lot of times we read it, oh, that's interesting. But you know what? Try and read around it. Is it around one of the feast days? Because if it's around one of the feast days, then there's a whole nother connection. You're like, this is around one of the feast days? Ah, remember, as we're reading through, chapters seem like times where we say, no, that this story's end and we're going into a new story. Quite often, unless it specifically says, that chapter was just put there so that to break it into smaller pieces. So what does chapter 13 or 13 start off with just after he said this? It says this, John 13:1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Yeshua knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So this entire conversation about signs, wonders, the right hand or the arm of God, to whom has the arm of God been revealed? All is in context of what? Passover. Key points. So many signs, but won't believe. So many signs. How many things do I have to do that are miraculous before you're going to believe? And guys, realize this. He tells you ahead of time. It's one thing a prophet that says, oh yeah, I knew that flood was coming. Well, that's great. Why didn't you tell me? It's another when he says, oh, by the way, it's going to come, and then it comes. And by the way, in Egypt, 10 times, this is going to happen, and it does. In fact, I sort of have a little bit of a laugh, because when Moses is speaking to Pharaoh, you can see this brotherly animosity and pride. And one of the plagues is really bad, and he says, I'll go pray for you, and Yah will take it away. When do I pray? Now he's struggling, and he says, tomorrow evening. Now he's struggling with a problem. He says, oh, do it tomorrow evening. Moses goes, okay. Walks out of his presence, does not pray for intercession until the next evening, and then they all go away. So not only does Yahweh say it's going to happen, he can tell you when and where. Isaiah, notice the point is that to believe the report is the revelation of the arm. So you have to believe the report, there's a revelation of his arm. Yeshua speaks of his death. and the Father's name being glorified, and they hear his voice. But I want you to hold on to that. Some of these things are come up over and over when we go through these verses. Belief should be in the one who sent him. Yeshua said it. Guys, I didn't say this. Yeshua said these words. Do not believe in me, believe in him who sent me, because this is his master plan. I am just an actor in this plan. I am the light of the world. Hear my words and does not believe will be judged on the last day. Hold on to that. It'll have new meaning by the time we're done. His command is everlasting life. And I can almost say his commands are. His words are. They are our life. This is taught near or around Pesach. Hold that together, all those little facts. So the first question I ask is, why in the world is he quoting Isaiah 53? Messiah is not going to go around haphazardly going, you know what, let me throw out another verse to him. Because the words he's speaking, his Father told him to say. So these words being spoken are specific. Imagine Yahweh in heaven going, all right, angel, get ready. Got that message ready? I need you to take this to Yeshua. Go. At the exact moment it had to be there, according to his plan, it was there and it was spoken. So if this word is now being brought up from Isaiah 53, then there should be something in Isaiah 53 in context for us to understand. Why did he teach us at Passover? Why did Yahweh wait for it to be, and by the way, this is the Passover. What I mean by the, Yeshua celebrated many. This is the where he's going to be that lamb. So let's go back to Isaiah 53, 1 through 2. It says this, who has believed our report? Believed the what? The words. Who's believed the words? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he shall grow up before them as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when you see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verses 3 and 4 of 53. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised. We not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by Elohim, and afflicted. Now, Isaiah's prophesying this. Now, a lot of us think of this in regard, oh, he's prophesying the future. Well, actually, Isaiah is prophesying from the past. You see, a word usually gets in us and causes us to speak of something. You're like, well, what do you mean? Well, let's keep going. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid on one the iniquity of all of them. 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. I believe Isaiah is prophesying, it goes beyond, from the perspective of the lamb at Passover. Remember that it was a lamb that would come into your family, like you adopted it. It took the place of your firstborn. It stayed with you. And when the time came for judgment, it was killed in place of your firstborn. All the iniquity was placed on it. And remember, again, guys, we read Scripture disconnected. Those people in Egypt probably knew the story of Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham was asked, take your firstborn and offer him as a sacrifice to me. So when they were gathering their lambs, they're like, you know what? We're almost all like Abraham bringing our lamb. Because remember, Isaac was replaced by a what? A ram that was found. He said, no, Yahweh will provide a lamb. So the point being, everybody in Egypt, if they knew the story of Abraham, was going, oh my goodness, we're all offering our firstborn. We're all offering our Isaacs. And Yahweh is providing a replacement. Any other references to Yahweh's arm in Isaiah? Would you believe that from about 51 all the way through 63, he just repeats it over and over? And would you believe that a lot of what Yeshua said is all connected to the same verses he talks about his arm? Well, don't believe me. Let's look. Isaiah 51, 4 through 5. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nations, for the law proceeds from me, and I will make justice rest as a light on the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arm will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. He is saying right now that they will trust his arm. What in the world does that mean? Hold on to that. We'll get to that. Isaiah 51, 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke, and the earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be how long? Forever. And my righteousness shall not be what? Abolished. Now that's in light that he's sending out forth his law. Take that to Matthew where it says, and my law it's not been abolished, but it's been fulfilled. Well, you are made righteous by his mercy and by the law, and the righteousness will not be abolished. Basically says that his words will not be taken away. Though heaven and earth will fade away, his words will not. Isaiah 52, 4 through 5. Thus says Yahweh Elohim, my people went down first in Egypt to dwell there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says Yahweh, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them will make them wail, says Yahweh. And my name is blasphemed continually every day. Now, this is talking about what's happening prior to him coming. Now, guys, realize we think about blaspheming Yahweh's name as actually like cursing his name. I need you to understand that every time we are a terrible example and we break the law in front of others, we blaspheme his name because his name is on us. Don't put blasphemy of his name just like, well, I curse a group of sounds. No, it's more than that. 52, 6, and 7. Therefore, my people shall know what? My name. Remember Yeshua said, what's going to come of this? Oh, glorify your name. And he says, oh, it has been and it will be again. My people shall know my name, my authority. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring the gospel, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation. Who says in Zion, your Elohim reigns? Isaiah 52:10. Listen to this. Yahweh has made bare, or laid bare, his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of Elohim. Now I need you to hold on that his holy arm and his salvation are equated here. And they are connected over and over again. Now it's intriguing. He says that his arm has been revealed to the nations. Is that in the future? Well, it will be, but you know what? It was also in the past. You see, this is what's incredible about his word. And this is why probably one of the biggest points of why we have what's called the Messianic movement today. It is for us to go and connect what Yeshua spoke to actually what he meant. To peel back so that we can understand that when Yahweh says, I reign, and I will reign. That when he speaks a word, there's not one fulfillment. No, Yahweh has habits. He will fulfill it and fulfill it and fulfill it. Is he going to save you one time? No, he will save you every single day. These words are fulfilled over and over. Why in the world does Yahweh want you studying the word? So that you find yourself in it. Go, oh my gosh, I'm going through the same thing this person's going through. I wonder if I can learn something, or like, maybe I won't make the same mistakes. Isaiah 59, 1 through 2. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from Elohim. And your sins have hidden his face from you so you will not hear. A lot of times we get into a point like, oh, Yahweh, he just won't save me. Well, you know what? There's two things. Number one, his timing. And he's not a puppet for us to choose when he's going to do what we want him to do. But two, we could be in the way of ourselves. We could be the problem. Isaiah 59:9. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is what? Darkness. For brightness, we walk in blackness. Yeshua brings us up when he's talking to them. He's like, the light will be with you for a time, and I'm gone, and it's going to be darkness. 59:14-15, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails and he who departs from evil makes himself prey. Then Yahweh saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. Yahweh goes, I look down and I see no justice. Let's find out what happens. 16, listen to this. He saw there was a man, no man, and wondered if there was an intercessor? No intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness has sustained him. Yahweh went looking for just one. All I need is one. He couldn't find any. So Yahweh himself had to take care of it. His arm had to bring salvation. Isaiah 63:5-6. I looked, but there was no one to help. And I wondered that there'd be no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me. And my own fury, it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger and made them drunk in my fury and brought down their strength to the earth. I've taken away their strength. Isaiah 63:8-9. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their savior. And in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence. Now, guys, we throw in the word angel, and the minute we start thinking of an individual, guys, this is the messenger of his presence. Yeshua says, if you've seen me, then what? Then you've seen the Father. The messenger of his presence, saying Yahweh's presence is among us. And the messenger's presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them. And he bore them and he carried them all the days of what? Not the days upcoming. No. All this arm and saving us, we're in the days of old. A lot of us read John 12 and go, oh, it's only speaking of Yeshua. No, there's a whole nother layer to pull back. Long before Yeshua. Isaiah 63:11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them? Where is he? Now, by the way, notice that the Spirit is put within them back then. A lot of people want to believe that only happened post-Messiah. This is way before Messiah came. 63:12. Who led them by the right hand of Moses? And what's the right hand of Moses? With his what? Glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself a what? Everlasting name. I'm going to glorify my name forever. What does this have to do with Passover? What's that next layer? Let's just go through a few verses. Exodus 3:19-20. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Not even by a what? Mighty hand. So I will what? Stretch out my hand. Interesting. And strike Egypt with all wonders or signs, which I will do in their midst, and after that he will let you go. So you're saying from this scripture that Yahweh's arm went to save them back then? Yes, it did. Exodus 4:13, he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. Oh, let someone else take your hand with them and do this. Because Moses is like, take your hand or your power or your strength with me. I know who I am. Exodus 4:15-16. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Does this sound like what Yeshua said? And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. Isn't that how Yeshua says, the words that I speak to you are not my own? Do not believe in me, but believe in him who sent me, right? So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as Elohim. Exodus 4:17. And you shall take this rod in your hand, and with it you shall do signs. So notice the hand is going to do signs or wonders. Everything he does will be with his hand, his arm. Exodus 4:21. And Yahweh says to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all of these signs or wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. I have put the wonders, the signs, his power in your hands. Realize Moses came with Yahweh's arm. Exodus 6:5. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Exodus 6:6-7. Therefore, say to the children, I am Yahweh. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, And I will redeem you with a what? Outstretched arm and with great judgments. Yeshua had to connect the arm with judgments, his words with judgments. I, Yahweh, will take you as my people, and I will be your Elohim. Then you will know that I am Yahweh Elohim, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Will they know his name? Yes. Will his name be glorified? Yes. He will glorify it. Exodus 7:3-4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so I may lay my what? Hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great what? Judgments. I'm going to lay my arm, my hand on them. You think Yahweh's revealing his arm to the Egyptians and to Israel? I think he is. Exodus 7:5. And the Egyptians shall know, they shall know that I am who? And when will they know that? When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring the children of Israel from among them. Other examples, in case that wasn't enough. These are all Exodus. Exodus 9:3. Behold, the hand of Yahweh will be on your cattle. That was not good, by the way. 9:15. Now if I stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, that was not good either. By the way, it was only on those who didn't listen to his warning or his word. Those who listened to his word, none of these things happened to them. 9:22, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there would be hail in all the land of Egypt. 10:12, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts. 10:21, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there would be darkness. Exodus 9:18. Magicians are like the Pharaoh's council. Think of the president. He's got his council of people that he meets with every day to talk about things. We think of magicians today like those who do magic tricks. Magicians were just wise people, those who studied. And they were meant to be his council to give him advice. Here's the magicians. And this is, by the way, early in the plagues. And what do they say? Magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of Elohim." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He did not heed them, just as Yahweh had said. They knew that this was Yahweh's hand. His hand was revealed to the magicians. They knew it was his hand that was doing this. And what's incredible is they could have said hand, but they say finger. Because what they perceive, I believe, is that Yahweh's holding back. And he actually says that. He says, I could have come in and just destroyed you, but no, I have a plan so that my name can be declared in all the earth. Or another way of saying glorified in all the earth. Exodus 14:13-14. Moses said to people, do not be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you when? Today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Yahweh will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now this salvation is spoken of as his arm that separated the waters. So what did they see that they saw salvation? They saw his strong arm. And we'll get to that in a moment because they actually speak of that. Exodus 14:30-31. Listen to this. So Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which Yahweh had done in Egypt. So the people, and that word feared could be in awe or worshipped. We say fear, and we don't really understand what it means. They are literally probably going down on knees, bowing before him. But listen to this. And they what? And they believed in Yahweh, but they also believed in Moses. Now, did this belief in Moses supersede the belief in Yahweh? No. It was just the reality that, guess what? Moses carried the words. Moses carried the right arm. Exodus 15:2. By the way, this is the song that goes after that. An arm is symbolic of strength, power, omnipotence. So when Yahweh says he's going to reveal his arm, what he's going to say is, I'm going to show you all my limitations. And what does he have? None. Yahweh is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. He is my Elohim, and I will praise him. My Father's Elohim, and I will exalt him. Yeshua is trying to get this point across to us prior to him going to the tree. Exodus 15:6. What does it say? Your right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed the enemies to pieces. Glorious in power. Exodus 15:12. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. Exodus 15:16. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of what? Your arm. And they will be as still as a stone to your people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. Now Moses blesses the people right before he leaves. You wouldn't believe that he would connect to that, would you? Listen to this. And he said, Yahweh came from Sinai, and he dawned on them from Seir, and he shone forth on Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of the saints. From his right hand came a what? A fiery law for them. So the right hand is referred to as the law. His word, his teachings. Yes, he loves his people. All his saints are in your what? Hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your what? Your words. We're closing up, guys. Isaiah 55:11. This is the reality of Yahweh's strength and power. We've spoken of it in the past. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish all that I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. His arm will be revealed. His name will be glorified. Now, I just want to go over the last two slides. John 12:37-38. But although he'd done what? Does that sound like it's like the signs that were done in Egypt? But did the Egyptians believe the signs? Not all of them. They did not believe him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Yahweh, who has replieved our words? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? You think it's by accident this was done at the Passover? That it was at Passover, his right hand, his mighty arm was revealed? That Yeshua just happened to bring this up and he's referring only to himself? I'm jumping up a little bit. One more slide. You guys remember this? I want you to read these now as I read them. I want you to think about them from the Egyptian's perspective. Forget from Yeshua's time, from the Egyptian's perspective. Ready? So many signs, but they won't believe. What happened to those people? It wasn't pretty. Isaiah, believing the words, was the revelation of his arm. And even the Egyptians said, this is the finger of God. And some of the magicians, when it was the hail and the Kajal goes, tomorrow I'm going to come and you want to take your animals inside. Some of those close to Pharaoh went ahead and put their animals inside. They heeded the words because they knew it was going to happen. They believed the report. He speaks of his death and his father's name being glorified. His name is glorified throughout all of Egypt and all the world. You're like, how is that true? Guys, what did Jethro say the minute he comes up in Genesis, Exodus 19, when he walks up to the people, 18 or 19? When he comes up, he says, Yahweh is the only Elohim. Now how did he, because he had heard what had happened in Egypt. And what did he want to do at that moment? Offer sacrifices and offerings to Yahweh. How about Jericho? Have they heard about what happened in Egypt? Yes. Yahweh's name was glorified throughout the earth. They all knew. They were all afraid. The belief should be in the one who sent him. Not focused on the words, not focused on the promises, not focused on the one speaking the promises, but on the promiser himself. Even Yeshua is very specific with that. I am the light of the world. And he made a real big point of that when he said, you know what, I'm going to have you, one side's going to have light and one side's going to have darkness. They hear my words, does not believe, and they'll be judged in the last day. What was the last day that they were in Egypt? Passover. What was that judgment on the last day? If they didn't believe the word and go forth and do it, there would not be a house in Egypt without someone dying. And Yahweh would be the one that would allow or not allow the angel of death to enter the house. Judged on the last day. Why? Because they didn't believe in the what? The words. That Yahweh would actually come forth to do it. His command is what? Everlasting life. All around Passover. It's not by accident that Passover is the beginning of our year. Because you know what? Passover is every one of our birthdays. And I don't mean physical birthdays. It was a day that we were made new again. Reborn. Because a lamb provided by Yahweh as a part of his plan was led to the slaughter for us. Last two things. Yahweh says, when he comes into Egypt, Israel is my what? Firstborn. So if you are Israel, then you are all being made into being firstborn. And that lamb replaced you. And we're blessed by that. Because our God saved, our God saves, and our God will save again. Baruch Hashem. Yevarecha Yahweh vayishmerecha. Ke Yahweh tibendege tibetecha. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh panavedecha vihunecha. Ke Yahweh gasu rostro spenicer sobrete ite ortorge sumadad. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh, panavidecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. Ki Yahweh muestre su rosh asobre te ite, kaseya su paz. Mi Yahweh, when his face turns toward you to judge, may he, the judge of the universe, give us, his people, his perfect peace. Shabbat shalom.